Ask them a ruble to fast. We'll probably try to stick a little bit to Inyani Rosh Hashanah, at least for this week, Bishuan, probably rolling into next week as well. So when you speak about Rosh Hashanah, so you pretty much have to break down Rosh Hashanah into two parts. So you have, first and foremost, is the mitzvah of Tekiah Shofar, of course, the Deraisa par excellence for Rosh Hashanah. And then you have pretty much everything else. Actually, everything else I'm talking about in terms of the tefillos and the machas, chunas, and shofars, and many of the minhagim of Rosh Hashanah, etc. So we'll try to spend the bulk of the time today talking about the mitzvah of Tekiah Shofar, and then we'll see where that takes us in terms of next week. So again, we could spend a lot of time learning the sugyas of Tekiah Shofar, but we'll try to focus on one specific aspect of Tekiah Shofar, and that is the fundamental issue, how we got to where we are in Hilchos Tekiah Shofar. Namely, every school child knows that we blow 100 kelos in Rosh Hashanah, and the question is, where in the world did all that come from? How did that develop, and what's the basis for this, and what's the din derais, what's the din derabanan, what's the min? Again, just try to figure out the ABCs of what we're doing and how we're doing what we're doing in Rosh Hashanah. So the sugya of Tekiah Shofar begins in the end of Maseches Rosh Hashanah, where the Gemara tells us that there are basic klal in terms of what Tekiah Shofar is necessary in Rosh Hashanah. Basically, you have to blow three truas. That's it. That's the mitzvah deraisa of Tekiah Shofar. You have to blow three truas. How do I know that? Because the Torah describes Rosh Hashanah as being a Yom Truah Yelochem. That's one phrase. And the Torah describes in Parshas Emor Rosh Hashanah as being a Zichur and Truah Mikra Kodesh. So that's true already twice. And it says, "Bayim Kippur Shel Yovel Vavata Shofar Truah." And we have a tradition, we have a Gzeirah Shofar, that all the dinim of Tekiah Shofar and Rosh Hashanah and all the dinim of Tekiah Shofar and Yom Kippur Shel Yovel are all derived one from another. So it's tantamount to saying the word Truah three times. So basically, the Tzuras HaMitzvah and love of Deraisa is to blow three Truahs. Then the Gemara tells us, based on other Psukim, that in the parish of Yovel, the Torah says, "Vavarta Shofar Truah." The Torah sandwiches the trua between the words tkias twice, between the havaras called shofar. So the Torah is teaching us that any time and every time you blow a trua has to be introduced with a tkia, and a trua has to be followed by a tkia. So since we do a simple math, so since you have to blow three truas in Rosh Hashanah, and each trua has to be surrounded by tkia at the beginning, tkia at the end, so it's very simple. You have to blow what the Mishnah describes as being tkia shel shalosh shalosh shalosh. That's the din in HaTorah, that you have to blow three truas, each trua surrounded by tkias, the beginning and end. So sach hakol, you have to blow all of nine kolos on Rosh Hashanah. And that fulfills the mitzvah deraisa of tkia shofar. You're probably wondering, we do an awful lot more than that. So where exactly did that come from? So the Gemara continues at the end of the fourth parak of Masechet Rosh Hashanah and tells us that there was a machlokes ha-tanoim, what exactly a trua is. So the one thing that we know for a fact is that a trua is reminiscent of a sound of a cry. How do we know that? That's what the Targum translates the word trua to mean. Yom trua yalachem, yom adi yavavi yalachon. Yavava is a sobbing, is a weeping. That is the definition of the word trua. Therefore, the sound of a trua has to mimic a crying. So the Gemara quotes a machlokes ha-tanoim about what exactly that means practically, because different people cry in different ways. Some people cry, and some people cry, and then even though the Tanoim don't quote this, but the Rabbi Abbo quotes a third possibility, a combination of the two. That you have to have a the other way around, the Gemara says nobody cries. No, listen to your kids. Get married, have kids. So when you when you're expecting some, it's good we have class participation. So the Gemara says that even when people cry, so some people cry, you know, nobody does the other way around. So the Gemara says, therefore, there are three logical possibilities as to what the trua is, and we want to be very careful that we fulfill the mitzvah of Tekiah Shofar properly. So the Gemara tells us a story at the end of Maseches Rosh Hashanah that his kin Rabbi Abbo b'Kisri. Rabbi Abbo was the rabbi in Kisri. Kisri is Caesarea. Caesarea was not exactly a very Jewish town. It was actually a Roman city, or that's where the Roman government was based, in Caesarea. So the Gemara tells us another place that Rabbi Abbo lived there. Rabbi Abbo was the Karav L'Malchus. He was the Jewish political representative to the Goyim, to the Romans. So he had to live in Washington, D.C. So he had to live in Nebuch. He had to live in Caesarea. So Rabbi Abbo was the Rav in Caesarea. So he instituted a takana. The Gemara says, his kid Rabbi Abbo be Kisri. And that takana became throughout the entire Jewish world. Adayim is there. He made the following takana, that since we're not sure what a trua is, and we want to make sure we get it right in Rosh Hashanah, so therefore we should do all of the above. We should blow shofar with assuming that a truah is a duh, what we colloquially call a shvarim, or we should low shofar, assuming that a truah is what we colloquially call a truah, or we should low shofar as a combination of the two. That's what we call colloquially a shvarim truah. So that was instituted by Rabbi Abo in Kisaria in order to fulfill, to cover ourselves on all bases. Remember several years ago in Tisway Kolo ran a tiyul to Kisaria. So they wanted me to come along to see Kisaria. So I asked them, what am I exactly going to see there? So they told me that they show you the old remains of the Roman amphitheaters. They show the Narish guys. They show where they used to kill each other, where they're gladiators. So for that, I should leave. To go look at the Romans killing each other. So he said, I told him, if you show me Rabbi Abo Shul, where he made this Takon in the first place, where they blew shofar, Tashrat, Tashatarat, then I'll consider traveling. So nobody could guarantee that they knew where that place was. So I didn't leave. So I didn't go. So, but if you happen to be in Kisaria next time, look around here, listen to the sounds of the Tashrat, Tashatarat, you'll know that's where it all started. So there is a machlekes harishayim as to how to understand what exactly this Takon of Rabbi Abo was all about. So the Ran in Maseches Rosh Hashanah quotes from Haigon, who says that this Takana of Rabbi Abo was not really a real suffix. It wasn't a real suffix as to what the true is. The true is anything under the sun. Anything that sounds like a broken cry is good enough. The Torah doesn't say what the sound has to be like. The Torah just describes it as being a cry. So any cry is good enough. So some people cry as oi, some people cry as oi, some people cry as oi. Whatever is a broken sound, that's okay. A tkiya is a straight sound. That's the definition of avoras kol shofar. That's a tkiya is a straight sound. And a true is a broken sound, but there are different permutations of what constitutes a broken sound. And really, mikra din, they're all okay. So why does the Gemara make such a fuss and say it's a machlokes? So the Ran quotes from Rabbi Gon and said, what's it really a machlokes? There were different minhagim how to perform the same mitzvah. Everyone agrees that you'd say, no matter what you blow, you blow shvarim, everything is good. And the only thing is that different people have different minhagim. So therefore, Rabbi Abo didn't want that. A guy's going to come to Shul in Rosh Hashanah, and he's going to get into a fight with Baal Tekeh. Baal Tekeh is going to be blowing shvarim. He said, no, where I come from, the blue truas. So everyone should walk with Rosh Hashanah happy, b'shalom, b'shalva. So therefore, he made a takana to blow all of the above. But you want to know, push comes to shove, says Rav Haigon, are you yotzim in HaTorah? Avad and Avad are yotzim in HaTorah. It's not a shayel of Avad yotzim in any of the above yotzim in HaTorah. It's not even a suffix. It's not a suffix in the real sense of the word. That's Rav Haigon's prayer. So we look in the Rambam in the fourth breath of Luchshayf, and look at Taisus, and the fourth breath of Maseches Rosh Hashanah. So you don't get the impression from those who shed it. The way you get the impression from the Rambam from Taisus that it was a real suffix. And we talk, I don't know. The Rambam writes the Arech HaGolus, all the years of Golus, so many times the Romans had persecutions against us. They weren't letting us blow shofar, so there were times in Christ where we weren't blowing shofar. That's why the Gemara, the Mishnah, tells us these crazy stories about a guy blowing into a boar and a guy blowing into a cave. What are they blowing shofar into pits for? What are they blowing shofar into barrels for? Why don't they come to shul? And the answer is because the Romans were going to kill them. That's what the Gemara says in the end of Rosh Hashanah. That's why we blow shofar by Musaf. Why don't we blow shofar by Shacharis? We say halav shacharis. Use my given mitzvahs. What do we wait till 11, 12 o'clock in the morning to blow shofar? So the Gemara says that there's a throwback to the olden days that the Romans used to prohibit blowing of shofar because they thought that blowing shofar in the ancient world was always a cry to call to arms. It was a call for a rebellion. So the Romans were afraid that the Jews were rebelling, so they would put the KGB agents, they would put their police into the shuls. So the Romans would come early to shul. Before people came to shul, they were then followed by Balabatim. So the Romans came early to make sure no one's going to blow shofar. So the davening was schlepping zech along. They came to shachar, so we're not going to blow. The Romans are there. So it's such a long davening. Somebody piyut them. So the Romans started to yawn. They started to get tired. Then the rabbi gets up to speak, and the Romans are falling asleep. And finally, it's already by musaf time. So the Romans figures it's ridiculous. It's already 12 o'clock, and the davening's getting over already. We don't have to hang around anymore. So right after Yakub Brooklyn, right after the Tefillah Shalom Medina, they heard the Tefillah Shalom Medina, then they left. So as soon as they heard they were ready to leave, they figured out they're not going to blow shofar anymore. As soon as the Romans left, then they started to blow shofar. So that's what we do out of Yemezen. Thanks to the Romans, we blow shofar late in the day. So the Rambam writes that over all the years of Golus, it was so there were talking years where the Hamonam Pasha wasn't hearing Kiyah Shofar. So people forgot what the true sounds like. So it's not going to know what a real suffix is. A real suffix there, Isa, what the real true is all about. So the Rambam writes that Rabbi Abo was misakin to blow all the three different kolos. So he was misakin it on the yotzos the day on the tzvah there, Isa. So that's a big machlokes. So Rishonim comes out of big nefkamin ladina. Let's say a guy he has part of kiyah shofar. So he left it in the whole thing. The Baal Tekeh messed up the shvarim, messed up the true, but something was right. So So according to Rabbi Gal, as long as something was right, as long as you heard three of anything, you heard one set of tashrat, one tashat, one tarat, as long as you heard three of any broken coal, so you don't have to clap a chet, you're yaitzah is in the rice of kishofa. You blew the tekonos of Yabal, but you were yaitzah mikra did kishofa. According to Tyson and Rambam, you're risking it. If you didn't hear all three properly, so you may have blew the whole thing, maybe you didn't fulfill your mitzvah, the love of the raisa.
Why is it only between shram and trio? Why aren't there more sounds?
Because the Gemara says there are only three different ways people cry. People cry either there's a limit to how much people kvetch. There is no limit to how much people kvetch, but there's a limit to how many ways they do it. Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
According to Pai, you could even be okay with one volume, one tour, and then one film tour.
Yeah, they're all kosher. According to Vagon, they're all okay. It's like eating a piece of matzah from chita, a piece of matzah from Zairam. They're all mitzvah together. They're all called kriyas.
How does the call of the tekiya fit into there? Can you do tekiya? Like, does that?
No, tekiya is a straight sound. So a tekiya is a one blast.
It's
got to be a broken
sound. Still considered a type of cry, though.
No, tekiya is not a cry. True is a cry. True is translated as yivava. Tekiya is vavartikol v'shoifar. Every cry has to be surrounded by a tekiya at the beginning, tekiya at the end.
Do we pass in like the Rambam or Rabbi, or
it's hard to know. It doesn't say Shulchan Aruch doesn't quote it, because the Shulchan Aruch just quotes what you're supposed to do in Rosh Hashanah. Shulchan Aruch says on Rosh Hashanah you should blow Tashrat Tashat Tarat, so he doesn't make reference to this. So there is something in our Hagiz in Rosh Hashanah that maybe may indicate which way we pass it.
Why does Trua have to be surrounded by Tashkiyah?
So the Gemara is out from Sukkim, because it says Vavarta Shofar Trua, so Vavaras Kol is a Lashon Tekiyah, then it says Tavir Shofar B'chalai Tzachem, so the Torah Nochamul says, second time around says it has to be a Tavir Havaras Kol, so Havaras Kol is a Lashon Tekiyah. So this Machloikis may spill over, may become irrelevant in terms of the second half of Tekiyah Shofar that we do. The Gemara says in Maseches Rosh Hashanah that Lamed Taking Shem Yeshrim, Lamed Taking Shem Omdin, that we blow Tekiyah Shofar a whole different set of second time around. We blow first before Musaf, and then we blow I'll say that bracha. So the Gemara says, why do we do this for him? In Atayru, I'd say with nine kailas. So even all Rabbi Abel's fakers, at the end of the day, why are we blowing a a second time around? So the Gemara is a very, very cryptic statement. The Gemara says, Kedil Arvis Asotam. The Gemara says that the goal, the second key, is all Arvis Asotam. So it's not clear, big machlokes we shown him. What exactly does the Gemara mean? Does the Gemara mean that's why we're blowing the first set, that's why we're blowing the second set, that's why we're blowing before Muslim, blowing after Muslim? It's a big, big tumult of the Rishonim. What exactly? We're confused. We're not even sure what the Gemara said. But at the end of the day, we end up blowing a whole second set. So even though, technically speaking, we're Yotzim and Torah before Muslim, we go in and we blow all Seyed HaBrachas again. So there's a big machlokes we've shown him. How do we blow all Seyed HaBrachas? What's the Seyed HaDevarim when you blow all Seyed HaBrachas? So the Rambam quotes a minhag that existed in the days of the Gaonim, that when you blow all Seyed HaBrachas, so you blow as follows. At the end of the Brach of Malchias, so the Batakeh gets up and he blows the following. He blows Tashrat. That's it. One Tashrat. Zakol. Blows Tekiyah Shvarim Trua Tekiyah, one time, finish Kamanu. Then when you get the Zichronis, the Batakeh gets up and he blows one Tashat. Then with Tekiyah Shvarim Tekiyah, Zakol. And we get the Shofars, he blows one Tarat. Adkan, that was the minig in Bavel for David. There's thousands of years. That was the minig in the yeshivas in Bavel. They blow one tashrat for Malchias, one tashrat for Zichronis, one tarat for Shefers. So the Rambam and Tosfos both quote this minig, and Tosfos has a lot of problems with this minig. Tosfos writes in the end of Masechta Shana, it seems to be a minig betolos, because l'chor it's a contradiction. It's a tie to the sasrei. It says make up your mind, which is the real tekiyas, or the real tekiyas. Is the real trua a shvarim, or is the real trua a trua? So it can't be all of them, says Taisus. One of them is right, and the other two are wrong. So what you're doing is doesn't make sense to anybody. If the din is you have to blow Seyed HaBrachas, whatever the Raisa, the Avon, whatever the source is for this idea, you have to blow Seyed HaBrachas, the Taisus says you have to blow an acceptable Tekiyah Shofar for Seyed HaBrachas. So what are you doing? What you're doing is Mamash HaTayat HaDisaster. So l'chora, one could suggest that this minhag ha-ga'onim was predicated on Rav Chaim Golan's idea. Rav Chaim Golan is one of the ga'onim. So it could be that this minhag ha-ga'onim, this minhag in Bavel, the old yeshivas was, assuming like the ga'onim, that assuming like Rav Chaim Golan, that you're really yotz with any of them. Any of them are really good. good. The whole reason why we want to blow everybody is that everybody should be happy. So if you blow this way, everyone's also happy. So the Malchus people are happy by Malchus, and the Zichrenis people will be happy by Zichrenis, and the Shabbos will be happy by Shabbos. Everyone forget, everyone will be happier, because otherwise you're going to have to make a much longer Tekiah Shofar. You're going to have to blow Tashrat, Tashat, Tarata, each of the brachas. That's going to make everybody miserable, because the Avodah is going to be even longer. So people are more happy to leave Shul early, and there, I already heard about Tekiah Shofar, so I already have Yaitzeh when we blew before Musaf, so everybody was happy. And the Machas, of course, the Shofar, so everyone will be patient, they'll stay to the end of Musaf, so then everyone's going to be happy at all. That's the simple pshat. The only problem is that the Rambam quotes this minhag, even though the Rambam didn't hold like the Goyim. The Rambam held that it was a real Suffolk, and the Rambam still quotes this minhag.
That was my question.
Yeah, good question. Right. So that's a little bit of a problem in the Rambam. So how can you defend this minhag? How do you defend this practice? So Tosfos quotes the name of Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam had no way of defending this practice. Rabbeinu Tam thought the Simam Shemini Gutos, and therefore Rabbeinu Tam changed the minhag. So what did Rabbeinu Tam do? Rabbeinu Tam instituted in his kehilas that you should blow by Malchius Tekiah Shvarim Tevuah Tekiah, just that. And then by Zichronis you should blow Tekiah Shvarim Tevuah Tekiah, Nachamol. And by Shofos you should blow Tekiah Shvarim Tevuah Tekiah, third time. And that's it. Adkan. And then you have to go to everybody, says Rabbeinu Tam. Why you have to go to everybody? Rabbeinu Tam says, because make up your mind, what do you think a trua is? You have three possibilities. Either true is a trua is a shvarm, or true is a shvarm trua. So says Rabbeinu Tam, whatever it is, you got it. So if a trua is a shvarm trua, matter. If a trua is a shvarm, so you blew shvarm. Ah, you blew a trua in the middle. Come on, what's the big deal? Says Rabbeinu Tam. So you blew a trua in the middle, well, you're mafsik. You think there's a problem with hefsik by the kishon? Yeah, there's no bit of hefsik by the kishon. So what do you think a real true is? A real is a true? So you blew a true. I threw a shrum in the middle. Big deal, says Rabbeinu Tam. It's a hefsek. Yeah, hefsek doesn't bother me. So Rabbeinu Tam says the safest of all the above is to blow three tashrats. It's very, very simple. It's very, very short. One tashrat for Malchias, one tashrat for Zichrein, one tashrat for Shofos, and Shalom Yisrael. That's Rabbeinu Tam instituted. So what do you mean Rabbeinu Tam says the hefsek's not a problem? The Gemara says the Ferish is a problem. The Gemara in Rosh Hashanah asked this kash according to Rabbi Abo. The Gemara says, why did Rabbi Abo institute all three? Why didn't Rabbi Abo just say to blow Tashrat and call it a day? And you have everybody satisfied. So the Gemara says, you can't do that because it's a hefsek. So who's Rabbeinu Tam kidding? Rabbeinu Tam saying to you, no, it's not a hefsek, doesn't bother me. It doesn't bother me. The Gemara asked the kash. The Gemara said it's a problem. So the answer is this Rabbeinu Tam l'shutas. Rabbeinu Tam is quoted by the Ran in the end of Rosh Hashanah saying that when the Gemara says that there's a problem of hefsek in Tekiah Shofar, the Gemara didn't mean Eikra, then there's a problem of hefsek. There's one Tana, Rabbi Yehuda, in the end of Masech HaSukh of all places, who holds that there's a problem of hefsek by Tekiah Shofar. So when Rabbi Abo instituted that we want to make everybody happy, Ben Adam says we want to make Rabbi Yehuda happy also. So therefore, it's not enough to blow three tashrats. Me'ika me'ika adin, the three tashrats should have been good enough, Yaitzel Choladeus, because you have your shvarim, you have your truas, you have your shvarim truas, you got everything covered, all bases are covered. The only reason why we go bend over backwards and insist on blowing tashats and tarats also is to make Rabbi Yehuda happy. So Rabbi Yehuda happy, ad kidekach, when it comes to the tekiyas, I'll say the brachas, we'll forego Rabbi Yehuda. Since me'ik mikradin, you can be yaitzeh with tashrats. So that's Rabbeinu Tam's minhag. Rabbeinu Tam instituted a new minhag in Klal Yisrael, unlike the Goyim. So the Goyim used to blow tashrat, tashat, and tarat for the same brachas, one for each one. And Rabbeinu Tam said, that doesn't make any sense at the time of this asrei. Rabbeinu Tam says, the safer way of blowing is tashrat, tashrat, and tashrat. So it's interesting that in the Rishonim all bend me over backwards to try to figure out how we blow our Seder Brachas and how do we get away with this cheap, you know, very, very short version of Kiyas. And the Rishonim all phrased the question, it doesn't make any sense what we're doing, it doesn't make any sense. What does make sense? What should we do? What the more correct thing to do is to blow, when it comes to Malchus, blow Tashrat, Tashat, Tarat. And then the same story for Zichronis, then the same story for Shabbos. Then you're mamish covered. Then you're good l'chodesh. Then you're good to go according to everybody. Because each of the brachas have the appropriate goyles. So the Rishonim say, no, we don't do that. To tich betzibra, to this. We'll try to find another eitz, another kun, to that. So the minhag Yisrael has become, in the last couple hundred years, when they quote from the Shlach Kladosh, the minhag has become to do what the Rishonim asked. The Rishonim asked, do it this way. Oh, let's explain away why it's there. So we're not so worried about tich betzibra. We're dabbing so long anyway, no one's going to notice another 20 minutes. So what we do is the way that has become the minhag Yisrael in the last couple of hundred years is what the kash that the Rishonim asked, taka we should do. And the enemy asks, why don't we do it? And the Ram says, why don't we do it? And Taisi asks, why don't we do it? And everyone's looking for a way. So he answers, we don't do it. And that's become the minhag Yisrael ad dayim. Just about all of Klal Yisrael, that when it comes to Malchus, so we blow Tashrat, Tashat, Tarat. And when it comes to Zichronos, Nochamot Tashrat, Tashat Tarat. When it comes to Shofaris, don't blow Nochamot Tashrat, Tashat Tarat, call day. And therefore, we in effect repeat whatever we did before Musaf, we mamash repeat during Musaf as well. I mean, I'm talking about during Chazos Tashat. The Svar does the same thing over in the Sanj Benesri as well. But those who don't follow that, those who follow the Zichashkenaz, so we end up with, in effect, 30 Koilos before Musaf. And we're covered in all bases, and then we do the exact same thing over, spread out throughout the course of the Shema Nesrei, and it's all in deference to the kasha that all the Rishonim have bothered with. There are a few kehilos that are still left in the world today that blow like they used to do in Bavel. Anyone know where?
Right here.
Yeah, right down the hill, right, in Breuers. So in Breuers, Adayim is there, they followed the Minig, that was the Minig in Germany, that they followed the old ancient Minig in Bavel, that they used to blow Tashrat for one, Tashat for the next, and Tashrat for it, and it's Adkan Velo Yosef. So I remember when I was the Rav in Paramus. Do you remember any Rashanas of Paramus? Not too much. Okay, not too many. So when I was the Rav in Paramus, so when I came to Paramus, they were, it's called Kaladas Yeshua in Paramus. So they followed some of the Minhagim, the Rashan and Kibbutim, especially they followed many of the Minhagim with the Yekesh community. So I was a little bit wondering how to deal with this. So on the one hand, it's, the Gaonim did blow this way. On the other hand, no one else has been doing this for the last, last couple hundred years. So I remember at the time, I guess, right, well, what should I do? Should I make a point that maybe it's Kedai to change the Minig? So that year, Rosh Hashanah was Chalias B'Shabbos. So he said to me, no, it's not a Deraisa this year anyway, because it's not blowing Shofar the first day anyway, I'll leave the Minig the way it is. So then the next year was also Rosh Hashanah Chalias B'Shabbos. I said, no, leave it up then. It's not going to stay away forever. The third year was already with Hashem Chagas on a weekday. So if push comes to shove, what do you do? So he thought it's Kedai that explained to the Balabatim that maybe it's Kedai to change the minig. Why change the minig? The minig of the Goenim. So Lefinius died, they weren't even fulfilling the minig of the Goenim. Why? Because the Goenim write that the reason why the Goenim didn't want to make everybody blow so much is Rishum Tirech HaDitzibor. So the Medrash room, that made any sense. That was in the olden days when they didn't blow 100 kolos. The idea of blowing 100 kolos is a fairly new thing in the last couple hundred years. So by the Yekis, what they do is they blow Tashrat, Tashat, and Tarat, and then what do? Then after davening, they make up another 60 kolos. So at the end of it, it's the same Tirch of the Tzibur. So people are coming home the same time from shul. So if you're back in Babylonia, you're back in Iraq, and you're only blowing Tashrat, Tashat, and Tarat, and sending everybody home early, and you're getting everyone home 50 minutes earlier, so then I can justify the custom issue. Tirch Netzibur, don't blow so much. But if anyway you're getting home the same time, so why should you blow by Ein Kel Akenu? What are you getting by Ein Kel Akenu? Blow you're supposed to blow, say the brachas. So blow like the middle, like the rest of Klal Yisrael. So that was my ha'ara, that I don't think that they gain anything what they're doing. So they're following the Minhag HaGoyim. They're not even following the Minhag HaGoyim. It's not the Minhag HaGoyim. It's nothing. Kind of like the last, the Minhag HaHeli, Heli communities in Germany. They had a Minhag HaDarius. But I thought that the tear of the fact a lot of people weren't really Yakis anyway, and there's a lot of other things going on in town there. So now it became a Sfardi shul, so the guy made a whole different ballgame there. But I've been out of there for quite some time. So we eventually switched to Minhag. Some people weren't so happy about it. I gave a whole shit to explain why I thought that it was Kedai to switch, and that became the Minhag.
The Rabbah Paskins to do the Minhag Goyim?
Yeah.
So do you mind to do that also?
I don't know. Gotcha. Okay, I don't know. Okay, anyway, getting back to our story. So, Lamaisa, so that's what plays out for us, practically speaking, that we blow before Musaf, and then we blow, say, the brachas again, those are davenes of Ashkenaz, blowing both, those davenes of, I'm sorry, blowing in Chazaz HaShat, those are davenes of Sfarad, blowing both. But the question is, should the blowing that we do, I'll say the brachas, be slightly different from the blowing that we do with Nei Musaf, particularly in how we blow the Shvarim Trua? So we'll have to end with this. But there is a big machlekes Rishonim when you blow Shvarim Trua. So whether Shvarim Trua is one kol, or whether Shvarim Trua is fundamentally two kolos. My nafkamina, it's one kol, it's two kolos. Big nafkamina, whether it's in one breath or in two breaths. So let's say tkiya. Tkiya is one kol. So you have to blow a tkiya with one breath. Or let's say a Trua is one kol. So imagine a guy blow a true like this. Toot, 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 toot. Toot, 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 toot. That's half of it is, half of this. It has to be one, toot, 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 toot. It's got to be out of one breath. So there was a machlekes Rabbi Shonim, when you blow Shvarim Trua, are you mimicking one kol, or are you making two kols? Two kolos. So if it's one kol, then it's got to be a toot, 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 toot. If it's two kolos, so it's got to be toot, toot, toot. One breath, toot, Then you have to have what's called days neshimas. So that's a big machlokes rishon. What is the proper tzura of blowing shvarim tzura? So that's from next week. We'll continue to try to talk about some of the details how this plays out. L'maisa in terms of the kishon. Okay.